You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
While you were skipping stones, building forts, and flying kites, I was missing school and all my Saturday nights. Other kids were climbing trees and rolling down hills. I was singing songs to pay my family's bills. Little me, growing up Broadway. Little me.
Hello, welcome to the Little Me podcast with me, Mark Tuminelli. Today I have two guests who have killed it on Broadway, on TV, and in the movies. And now they're coming together for a new podcast. So please welcome Eli Tokash and Sydney Lucas. Hi,
What's
friends.
Up?
Hi, Mark.
Hey.
How are you? Okay, before we talk about your amazingness, let me tell the people about you in case they are unaware. They've been living under rocks. Eli, you have appeared on television and ABC Forever and Netflix's Friends from College, which I was obsessed with, the Broadway companies of Pippin and Finding Neverland, the Madison Square Garden production of A Christmas Story, the national tour of Mary Poppins, and you're a junior in high school?
I am.
And Sydney, you are the history-making child star, having created the role of young Allison in Fun Home at the Public and then on Broadway, for which you received a 2015 Tony nomination for Best Featured Actress in a Musical at the age of 11, and also played Mary. It's like, that's kind of a big deal. We're going to unpack that in a minute. You played Mary Lennox in The Secret Garden at Lincoln Center. You're a series regular on the AMC show The Sun, and you can be seen in the films Dude, The Skeleton Twins, and a ton of other amazing things. But now you guys have come together to create this Take a Bow podcast. So I want to start with talking about that. How did you guys meet each other? Give me the story. Who's kicking it off?
Okay, so Eli was in the regional tour of A Christmas Story with my brother Jake. Jake Lucas, who was in Christmas Story. He was also in Newsies on Broadway and King and I on Broadway. And
he was in King and I the same season you did Fun Home on Broadway?
Yeah, so we did the Tony Awards together. Isn't that insane?
Like, has that ever happened before? A brother and sister, do you know?
My poor parents. But okay. So that's
how you guys know each other. That's how the friendship started. Tell me.
Yeah, we met when we were about 10. And then we kind of kept in touch ever since. And little did we know that we would end up in the same school when it was sixth grade and when we were about 12. And we reconnected there, and we went through all of middle school together, and we really leaned on each other during those three years, and then. We went to high school for a year together before Sydney kind of went her own route online. And ever since then, we've stayed in really close touch, and we have like mutual friends. So we always hang out when they're in town and stuff like that. And one day I was like asked to do a podcast, and I was kind of like, you know, I want to start one myself. Like, I think it'd be a really cool thing. And I was like, but I want to have a co-host if I ever do it. Like, I want someone there with me. And I knew that I was starting this podcast and things were starting to like heat up, and I was starting to talk to more people about it. And then I posted something on my Snapchat story, like exciting things happening, and like left a microphone and like, but like kind of left it suspicious. And I knew that was clickbait for Sydney, and and she, of course she swiped up. No. But like,
okay, so Sydney, you called Eli. No one calls anyone. You texted Eli, and you were like, "What is this? Can I get in here?"
I swiped up, and I was like, "What's happening?" And he goes, "Well, it took a little prodding because whatever, but finally he told me, well, I may be starting a podcast. I was like, oh my gosh, you should like invite me on sometime. And he goes, wait, you like podcasts? I was like, well, yeah, I just started getting into them, but yeah. And then 20 minutes later, he texts me being like, hey, can I call you? And I was like, yeah. And so he calls me and he goes, I have been trying to find a co-host for this podcast. And I've gone through so many people, and it didn't even cross my mind to ask you, but will you be my co-host for this podcast? And instantly I was like, yes, of course. And then pretty much in 2 hours, we already made a business plan. And then we had already set a date for promotional picture shoots. And we took promotional pics, and then we got all the equipment within that week. And then, yeah, we've just been pretty fast moving since then.
Okay, but none of the episodes have come out yet. Am I correct?
This week.
No.
Oh, who is your first guest? Can you tell us?
It's actually just us that it's going to be released this week. And then our first guest is going to be Broadway's Josh Lehman.
Oh my God. How fun.
Love
is
him.
That?
Yeah.
You worked with him in Finding Neverland?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God. He is wild.
He's absolutely hilarious.
Great. And so what is the premise of this podcast? Because, you know, there are no podcasts available. No one has one. So it'll be really, I'm being sarcastic. Tell us what this podcast is about.
So this podcast is basically, so obviously Eli and I are young and there aren't very many podcasts marketed towards young, marketed, first of all, produced by young people for young people. We looked around and we really haven't seen that many podcasts kind of marketed towards young actors or young theater fans or TV fans or movie fans. And so we decided that we wanted to pretty much give people a new perspective on what life is like as a child actor on Broadway, but also bring on guests to talk about their experiences, adult and children alike.
Love it.
And it's pretty much our kind of byline is we wanted to give people a peek behind the curtains of what life is truly like for a child actor. And so we pretty much talk a lot about that in our podcast.
Yeah, I think the special thing about ours too is that, like, you know, we have two young, successful people that we can talk on behalf of kids, but also we can talk about people that are transitioning at this age become a young adult actor, because we are at that stage where we're 16 and we don't have that high pitched voice anymore, and we can't we can't play.
You're not as cute as you once were.
No, so, like, my baby cheeks can't buy me an audition.
You have to come in and be good now.
I think giving people an understanding and more appreciation for what actors do, both kids and adults, because what they go through on a daily basis is very different, but also very demanding at the same time. So we're excited to bring both kids and adults and not just talk about all things Broadway, but also talk about a little bit about the TV and, film industry as well, because there's many actors out there who've done both. And yeah.
Well, I'm very excited for you guys, and I'm so glad you're on the Broadway Podcast Network. It's been really fun for me to do this little mini adventure, so I'm sure you guys are going to have a blast as well.
Yes, thank you.
So let's go back to the beginning for both of you guys. How did it start? What was the thing that made your parents be like, we got to get them to Ripley Greer immediately? What was the start of for both of you? Sydney, we'll start with you.
Okay. So I got into the business pretty young. I remember really wanting to be an actor when I was about 4, because I saw two things, I think. Well, actually, 3 things prompted me. The first one was I would see kids on TV or commercials, and I was like, how do they get there? How is that possible? And then I also saw my brother Brock was in a lot of community theater, and I was too young to do the community theater that he was performing at. And I was so mad. I was like, just accept me. I just want to do this. And luckily they did accept me a year early because I was so adamant. But watching him really sparked and ignited a flame in me. And I was kind of badgering my parents. I was like, please, how do I do this? I want to do this. And I was 4 when that happened. So my mom was like, okay, 4-year-old, chill out for a sec. Because I could have just turned around and I don't know, been obsessed with flying planes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
2 months later, you could have been into something totally different.
Yeah, like, I want to be an astronaut now. but I wasn't. 2 years go by and I was still so adamant about it. And my mom did some research about how to get a manager, what a manager was, what the difference was between a manager and an agent. And my 2 brothers, Brock and Jake, because I was going to do it, they're like, well, we'll do it too. So we all auditioned for a manager and we all got it. And then we all started going on auditions. And then my brother Jake actually was the first person to book a big thing. He booked Newsies when he was, I think, 9 or 10. He booked Newsies in 2012, I think. And he was born in 11? It could have been 10 or 11. I don't know. But So that happened. And shortly after he booked Newsies, I booked the Lab of Fun Home, which was the first time Fun Home was being stood up in front of an audience. And that was this crazy, super fun, insane experience. And then they kind of brought me along to the off-Broadway run. And then they brought me along to the Broadway run. And here we are.
My God, so crazy. Did you ever think that you were not going to continue with the show at any point? Were you worried about getting too old and not getting to do the Broadway portion of Fun Home?
I mean, I had just turned 9 when I had started, and Janine had all of the creative team and the cast members. They were all very supportive of me, and they kind of made me not worry about that. And I think it was, I don't really remember ever worrying that I wouldn't move on with it. Maybe just because I wasn't aware that that was a possibility. But I guess maybe I was more concerned about, like, is this going to, like, Broadway? And I remember I was at a benefit with Janine Tesori, the composer of Fun Home. I remember I was at a benefit, and I asked her, is this going to Broadway? And she goes, on the down low, yes. And I was so excited. And they just brought me along through the entire thing. And I'm so grateful for that, because it's brought me so many
opportunities. Could you think of a better possible show, like, to get your start with? I mean, yeah.
Exactly.
I was fully obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Eli, how did it start for you?
Yeah, I mean, pretty similar. I was on my way back from a hockey tournament, and I saw my sister do this local community show that she saw an ad in the newspaper for, and ended up auditioning and got it. And we made it just in time for her opening night. And I saw it, and at intermission, I turned to my mom and I was like, you know, this is something I want to try. My sister and I would always do like skits and sing in the shower and sing, do performances and whatnot in our house. But I never thought it was like something that I could actually do. So when I saw Tessie do it on stage, I just was like, amazed. And so my mom started asking people in the cast. It was the touring company of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and in each city they had little orphans that they'd bring in for the finale number. And so it was just like a 1 week thing, and we saw it, and they went to their next city. But while they were in Pittsburgh, where I'm from, we asked around and we were like, what do we do? And they were like, well, to get started, you can take classes at the Pittsburgh CLO and you can get involved with them and you can do these summer camps. And then I went and did the summer camp, and the principal there, you know, saw me and said, you should audition for a show that's going to be at the Benedum Center. And then from there, I did that show. And then a casting agency saw me in A Christmas Carol and then represented me. And then they were like, go to New York. And I don't know, everything just like,
and your family was totally cool with the idea of like packing things up and coming to New York City?
No, they didn't. They didn't know it was a thing, you know. I didn't move to New York, and we were adamant that we weren't moving to New York, because we were like, there's no way. Like, our family's here and my siblings are in high school. We have to let them, you know, live too. And so when I went to New York and got an agent in New York. I was living in West Virginia, but I had an agent in New York and was traveling back and forth for auditions. And I auditioned for the Mary Poppins tour, and I ended up booking it. And that's when the real problem faced us. And we were like, oh, I guess we're going to have to like split up for a little bit. And then we were like, okay, but only for 6 months. And then that turned into a year. And then after the Mary Poppins tour, we got A Christmas Story. So then we went back home, because that was only like a 3 month thing. And then we went to Pippin. And right after that, I booked Neverland. So we never really got to go back home during that stint, and just ended up staying here. And we were like, listen, I guess we're here now.
And Pippin was your first actual Broadway show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that experience like?
Unbelievable. I mean, it was absolutely crazy, because it's unlike any other show that I've been in. I mean, I know I've been in only like 2 Broadway shows, but I've been in a lot of other
only
Broadway
2?
No, I know.
You suck.
No, but like, I've been in a lot of shows, and there's truly none other like it, especially what Diane Paulus did with the revival and just reimagining it into making it a circus, and got to learn crazy circus tricks and just life lessons along those, you know, tricks and special messages that were in the show. And the people that I met, it was just incredible, and I'm thrilled to be a part of this community.
It was a really cool production. Sydney, did you see that production of Pippin?
Oh my gosh, I wish I did. I would have loved to see Eli balancing on balls and stuff.
She would have just liked to see me in makeup.
You were in makeup?
Great.
I was a clown. Yeah.
Send her some photos. You guys don't know each other.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly someone hasn't stalked my Instagram. No, I'm just kidding.
We need to do some serious Googling, Sydney Lucas. Okay, so let's go back and talk about Fun Home for a couple more minutes, or I'm going to fail as a Fun Home fan. So doing that show at the Public and then moving it to Broadway was a very different situation because you went from a proscenium theater to In the Round, which sort of really changed the entire experience, I'm sure, of not only performing the show, but rehearsing the show and all that. Talk to me about this, you know, 11-year-old girl who has a lot of people in the industry are talking about her and how great her performance is. Did you feel that pressure? What was that rehearsal process like? Talk to me a little bit about that.
You know what? The transition from off-Broadway to Broadway, like you said, it was a proscenium transitioning into The Round. We were scared. Not going to lie. We're a little bit like, oh, how is this going to happen? But, you know, we learned very quickly not to doubt the mastermind of Sam Gold.
No, don't do that.
Never, ever. Because it just made the show so much more beautiful and so much more intimate. And now I truly can't even imagine the show not being in The Round. I really loved that experience, and I'm really grateful I got to experience it when I was so young, because it is such an impactful show, and it speaks about issues that really weren't spoken about that much in theater, and still aren't really high extent. And I was exposed to a lot of, different people and different stories and perspectives and topics. And I just grew up in the show and got to interact with the fans who, as I grew up a little bit, got more comfortable with, you know, telling me story. Like there was a mom whose child was part of the LGBTQIA community, and she came to the show, and the show really helped her to come to terms with a child's sexuality. And I got to see that firsthand at such a young age. I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, I don't, obviously for everyone, not, you know, regardless of their age, they're going to feel, you know, a little pressure. But I think it was a good amount. First of all, the show is based off of an actual human being. So my main goal was to just make sure that I did her story, Alison Bechdel. I wanted to make sure that I did her story justice. And I did the best that I could. And I knew that whenever I got nervous or got up all in my head, I was like, I have to do a good job for Alison. And this is for her. And I think that really helped all of us do the
And when
best
you
job
got your Tony nomination, which is a pretty big deal at age 11, did you feel that was coming, or was it a shock to you?
My family and I got together to watch the Tony nominations. I was obviously hoping, you know, and, you know, people would come to the show and they would be like, oh, you know, all of you guys, you should get nominated. And you're like, oh, thank you. But, you know, I'm like, I'm 11. This is, you know, this is probably, part of me was like, I mean, it's possible. But then the other part of me was saying the opposite. Like, you're too young. You're 11 or whatever. So to be honest, I went into it with no expectations. And I think that really helped me.
And then, of course, you got to perform.
To some extent.
Yeah. You got to perform at the Tonys, and it was your number.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that night, and then we'll move on to some other things.
Yeah. I remember when Sam Gold told me that we were going to be performing that at the Tony Awards. To be honest, before he told me that, we all kind of knew that it was going to be Ring of Keys, but I was hoping that it would be some like kind of bigger number from the show, because obviously having to perform a solo ballad at the Tony Awards by yourself is so terrifying. But deep down I knew, I'm like, it's going to be Ring of Keys. And he told me, and I was like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's the anthem of the show, and it's impacted so many people. And so I freaked out for a sec, but pulled myself together and was like, okay, let's do this. And I spent, you know, the Tony season in and of itself is insane. And I spent a lot of time going from the theater doing a show and then going to do rehearsal for the Tony Awards and then going to do a benefit and then interviews. And at some point, I just slipped into a haze and literally just let people carry me along. And just like my mom would get to the point where she's like, you're being asked to do this. And I just say yes. And I just let it happen. And to be honest, I almost wish this is something that Michael Cerveris, who played my dad in the show, this is something that he really helped me with. And also Cheetah Rivera told me, when we went to the first press junket on a Wednesday, she said, savor this moment, look around. This is going to go by so quickly. Just enjoy it. And Michael Cerveris told me that all the time because he had experienced it as well. And I did that to the best of my ability. But sometimes it was just a haze and I don't remember it at all. And then I performed on the Tony Awards, which was the most fulfilling, exciting, scary, terrifying, just dream of my entire life.
Eli, you came back to Broadway in Finding Neverland. That was your second Broadway show, yeah?
Yes.
Yes. Tell us about working on that thing.
Oh, wow. That was no joke. I mean, it was the first time that I had to do multiple roles, but also perform 7 to 8 times a
day. So yeah, explain that, because this is unlike what happens in most Broadway shows where it's like you have a track and you play that track or you understudy a track. Tell us about how it worked with the Finding Neverland boys.
Yeah. So I was actually the only boy that has ever gone on for all four roles in the show. And I actually played the youngest boys for a show and a half. Thank you.
Bravo.
Well, thank you. It's quite a big accomplishment.
Feather in your cap.
Yeah, for sure. So what it is, I mean, like, we had six boys and there was four boys on stage, and there were some of us that did only one role and there were some of us that moved around. I played Jack for the beginning 2 months, I guess, that I was there. And then they were like, are Peter's leaving? And at the time we actually had seven. And then when our Peter that we had was leaving, they were like, listen, he's leaving and we'd kind of like you to step into the roles. And I was like, yeah, like, of course. And so Chris Richards and I shared Peter for a bit. And then for Matthew's like 2 or 3 like final months, he was like, I like, let's not switch it up as much or whatever. And eventually
Matthew Morrison, of course, is who, yes, you're talking about.
Yes. Yes. And he was like, let's do it where we don't mix it up as much. And so they had me play Peter 6 times a week. And then I was doing my Jack 1 to 2 times a week, depending on where they needed to be and what the other kids' schedule was like. And we would find out in like a week in advance, but like we all knew the show and we all knew each other's tracks. So like we were all like ready to go.
Did you ever forget a track?
No, but I definitely like did other tracks while I was doing my other track, because
Wait, I'm supposed to be here.
Mark knows me. He knows that, like, of course I couldn't play four roles. No, I could.
No, I don't see that for you, but you're very talented. I just, you know, we only want to put you in one place.
Yes, thank you.
But that was like a huge Broadway show with obviously a lot of moving parts, and was kind of set up to be this really big new Broadway musical. So I'm sure there was like a lot of pressure in doing a show that was so big in size.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say like dancing that we had to do, because like, although it was like a lot of moving in the show, that was the most moving I've ever done for 2.5 hours. We were always running around the stage and just being like crazy little boys while trying to look good and elegant while we sing. but it was a dream. It was definitely my favorite project that I've worked on.
That's what the show should be called. Running around, little crazy boys running around the stage.
Oh, for sure.
Probably still be running today.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. So crazy. So after these like big Broadway experiences, was the thought I would like to do film and TV, or is that mostly managers and agents saying like, this is the next step? Talk to me about, since a lot of what you guys have done since Broadway is film and TV, what draws you there?
Well, for me, yeah, go ahead.
No, you can. Okay.
Oh, you guys are cute. Sydney, you can go first because you're our lady.
Okay. To be honest, TV and movies and Broadway, all of them were things that I wanted to do from the get-go. I did some TV and some film and some movies. That's the same thing. I did some TV and some film before I did Broadway, but I knew that I wanted to do all three. And then, you know, I think maybe now my career is leading me more towards a TV path or a movie path, but then I'm totally going to come back to Broadway. I'm just pretty much going. I've always been like, I'm just going to go where the universe leads me and see what happens. But I've really always been interested in all three, like genuinely super, super interested in all three different aspects. And I truly don't have a preference.
And you played Kristen Wiig's younger self in two different movies?
I did.
That is like cool, a very right? interesting fun fact.
I know, right?
That'll be like your Jeopardy category. That's the question. Yeah, go ahead.
And I didn't meet Kristen Wiig until the second movie that I did, which basically just a very short rundown of how we met is we were doing a pool scene. I was with the person who was playing young Bill Hader. His name was Eddie. And we were standing on the side of the pool, and Kristen and Bill, they had just finished their pool scene, and we were coming in to do ours. And then Kristen comes in, and she starts talking to us. I'm like, oh my gosh, hey, so cool. And we were talking for a couple minutes, and the next thing that I remember is just being really dizzy. And then the next thing that I remember after that is coming to on the tile on the swimming pool, right next to the swimming pool, and with like 20 people around me. I'd passed out and I probably was like locking my legs or something, and like my mom was up in my head, and then I had a lifeguard holding my legs up, and then the first face that I saw coming to was Kristen Wiig, who was over to my right rubbing my leg trying to help me wake up. and then the lifeguard like carried me out. I went to the hospital. I was fine. Came back the next day, and we filmed it in a shallower pool just in case. But I was fine.
Just in case you passed out. Great.
Just in case I passed out. But to be honest, I think I'm 99% positive the reason I passed out was because I was locking my legs, but it was so sweet. Well, first of all, there's no way Kristen Wiig is going to forget that first impression.
No, you'll always have passing out near a pool in the Skeleton Twins as your story.
Exactly.
It's a great movie. Everyone should.
It is.
I think it's on Netflix. Get on it, people.
Mark, I think you should write it.
Eli, Ibby, talk to me about working on doing some film and TV stuff, because you've done a ton.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was more just like not even a thought that, you know, it wasn't even an option, I guess I could say, because I was just like, you know, whatever I could get an audition for, I'm going to go in for. Like, it was pretty much as simple as that for me. Whoever wanted to see me was going to see me. And my agents and managers didn't even like ask, but like, I guess I got my first like TV audition, and I was like, yeah, like, of course. Obviously, like, my first love was theater, and I just like theater. I didn't think that I could even like TV was a possibility. But then when it was, you know, I kind of rolled with it. And it was funny because the first like big movie that I auditioned for, I got, and I wasn't able to do it because I was in Pippin at the time, and Pippin wouldn't let me film and be in the show because it had conflicts. I know, it was really unfortunate. And then the first TV show I auditioned for was Forever, and I booked it, and I was on about like 12 episodes of the show. And I mean, that's when I was like, wow, this is incredible. And actually, I was filming that during Pippin, but fortunately they were able to work around my schedule. But yeah, it was awesome. And now I do more and more of it. And I mean, as we transition, Sydney and I, And I'm 16 now. I'm too old to play young kids on Broadway, and I'm too young to play adults on Broadway. So this is kind of the route I'm going to have to
you're
take.
You're 17.
Oh, right. I know. I turned 3 days ago. May 5th is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I know.
Oh,
guys, Sydney, how old are you now?
I'm 16.
Oh, wow. Guys, I'm really like 9, but it's okay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
What kind of things come up? Because you guys are like child stars, which is a super weird thing to be. But what kind of things come up for you that like weird parties you get invited to or experiences where you're like, I cannot believe this is my life right now? Sydney, has stuff like that come up for you?
I mean, the Tony Awards after parties were pretty insane. I stayed up till, I think I woke up at like 6 a.m. that day, and then I stayed up till 4 a.m. just, you know, going to all of the different after parties. And I mean, I can't, first of all, I barely remember that night because I was running on pure adrenaline because that day was so long. My dad was like, I'm going to take you, because this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. You never know if you're going to be able to experience this again. Any after party you want to go to, I will take you to. No doubt. We can go home whenever you want, but I'm here if you want to. Whatever you want to do. And we went to I think like 3 or 4 different after parties, one of which was so packed you literally could not move around in it. And at a certain point I was like, by the way, at this point I was feeling a little claustrophobic because I was sewn into my dress, long story. But I was feeling very claustrophobic, so I had to, at a certain point I was like, okay, I want to go home and get cut back out of my dress.
Get me out of this. Well, that is like so awesome about your dad. I mean, like my dad wouldn't pick me up from play rehearsal on Long Island. So it's very impressive that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm exaggerating.
I mean, fine. I love my parents. And it's insane because my brother also performed in that Tony Award. So they were pretty much handling two different children, two different shows, performing in the same exact Tony Awards.
Do your parents decide like mom's with him, dad's with you? Is that how you made all of that work?
I have to be honest. I was mainly focused on myself.
You're like, I'm focusing on being a star, so everyone out of my way.
I mean, I think in the morning, actually, Jake left before I did, and then he went to his theater, and then
because everyone has a different call time to rehearse,
pretty much the rest of the day. Yeah, and then both of my parents were actually with me for most of the day. And then at the end, it was my dad who was kind of taking me to all the different after parties while I think we dropped my brother back off at the hotel. And then my mom came back in at some point because my brother fell asleep at one of the after parties and does not remember getting back to the hotel.
Great. He's blackout wasted.
two different people there.
Eli, what kind of stuff have you been at or been invited to or like experiences with celebrities that you like couldn't quite believe?
There's been a few, you know, little events that I've been like, wow. I did the Trevor Project event, Trevor Live.
And you had been part of the Trevor musical for a long time.
Yeah, I have. I did the Out of Town production in Chicago, and it's finally making its debut on Off-Broadway as soon as this quarantine is over.
But now you're too old. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I am. I'm too old, too tall, all of those fun things. But yeah, so I did that Trevor Live, and it had Imagine Dragons. It had like the cast of Orange is the New Black. Like it literally had Brandon Urianowicz. It had like Broadway people. It had TV people. It had radio people. It was awesome. And then I was invited to perform at the White House with Finding Neverland, and I met Michelle Obama, Christian Borle, and
so cool.
Yeah, I mean it was crazy.
Also, I don't think anyone's ever said Michelle Obama and Christian Borle in the same sentence. So I'm glad that it's happening at 34 minutes into this.
I know. I'm glad to be the first one too. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, someone stop. Do not cut that out. It's everything.
He has 30,000 dogs in his apartment.
Oh my God. Did we lose him? Is he still alive?
Eli? I'm here. I'm
He's
here.
Still there.
I love it. Okay. How hard is it to leave these shows for both of you when you're doing a Broadway show and it feels like you're a family? And how hard is it to say, I need to bow out, or I'm getting too old for this, and things like that? Sydney, how hard was it for you to leave Fun Home?
You know, it was bittersweet because I had been in the show for a quarter of my life when I left. I started when I had just turned 9, and then I ended when I was 12. And that's a really, really long time to be in a show. And especially when you only have 12 years of experience, and then you've been in a show for practically 3-4 years.
3.5 of those 12 years. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, part of me was I can't even ever imagine my life without this show. I can't imagine not doing this every single day. And this is my family, and I love them so much. And the thought of leaving them makes me really sad. But then on the other hand, I just felt like it was time to leave. You know what I mean? There's a point where you're like, it's time for me to move on to a new chapter. I'm so grateful for it, and I loved it so much. But, you know, I think I was ready to move on to new things. And, I was so grateful for my time in the show. And it was definitely very hard, but I think I also felt ready.
Eli, how long did you stay in Finding Neverland?
So I've actually never been in a show that I left by myself. Like, I've always stayed until closing. I was in
Neverland. You're a ride or die. You're good. You're good to have in a company.
I'm trying, man. I mean, hey, anything to keep me busy. I love it. But I was in Neverland. I joined a month after it opened. So I was pretty much there for the full.
Longer than anyone else in that show. you're there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was very hard to say goodbye to and close it out after doing that, and also having that group of boys together, you know, sort of creating a musical every night.
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you have kids in a show, your bond is super strong, and because you have to be with each other 24/7, and you have to have that bond on stage as well as off stage. And, you know, just having those boys there unknowingly just made you more comfortable with not only the boys, but the adults as well. So it was super special, and we got really lucky with an incredible cast that everyone just got along so well, and we had the best time on stage and off stage. We were so silly.
So what happens now, friends? Like, what do we want to do? Obviously we're going to continue to do, you know, the things we love, but do we think college is in our future? What does that look like for both of you?
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of college searching now. I have NYU, Fordham, Pace, a few other colleges on my list that I'm looking
at. Do you want to stay in the city so that you can continue
auditioning? I do want to stay in the city. That's definitely a must. That I talked to my manager, and I was like, you know, early on I was thinking about Michigan. And he was like, it's a great school, blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to take anything away from you if you're dead set on it. But just know that 4 years, you're not going to be in the city, and you're not going to get every audition that comes in for you. Whereas if you stayed in the city, you could get a ton more auditions and be more available to work and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, that's a good point. Didn't think about that. I think I'm going to stay in the city for sure. And we'll see where it goes. I mean, I'll do anything. My love is Broadway, but I also love the film and that area. And I even love voiceovers and stuff like that. So really anything.
And yeah. Sydney, what do you think your plan will be?
I definitely do want to go to college. To be honest, I've thought of a couple different colleges. I've thought of like NYU, Yale, Duke. And I really want to go to college, not for acting, but I really want to go for law, because law is something that I've always been, right? First of all, I'll always be an actor, by the way, but I've always known that I wanted to go to college for something else. And if for some reason my acting career gives me a big platform that I can use to help people in some way, I would want to be knowledgeable in that specific thing. So I'm very, very into, I think I want to go into civil law. And obviously I know that, you know, that requires law school and all that, but to be honest, I'll do more research, but I think it's worth it. And yeah, it's always been something that I've been really interested in. And, yeah, but I'm always going to be an actor, and I'm definitely always going to be in the business. That is most definitely my passion and my love. I may try out different things other than acting, even though acting is most definitely my first love. But I'm also very interested in writing and directing. And
well, do all of those things, please.
Yeah.
Oh,
seriously,
for sure. So, like, you know, I'll maybe shadow a director just to see what it's like, or I'll maybe shadow a writer, or maybe I'll just write something, who knows. And maybe I'll go into the singing business, or I'll, you know, go into TV and movie for some part of my life, and then I'll come back to Broadway. And really, I just want to do everything.
How hard do you guys feel like it is to be a normal high school student and have this level of success, and have done, you know, having done so many different things that these other kids would, I'm sure, die to have done? How hard is it to, like, just be a normal? And I know, Sydney, you're not in regular school, but, or no one's in any school at all anymore, but how hard is it to just maintain being a regular high school student and wanting to do the school musical? Or does everyone want to, like, burn you alive?
I mean, we're lucky that we got to go to a performing arts school. So a lot of kids there were in Broadway and TV and movies. That's kind of what this school is known for. It's very flexible to working actors, and probably like half of, or a quarter of our class were professional actors. And we also went to a school that didn't have much jealousy, purely because, you know, everyone's just supportive of each other and each other's careers. And it was something that we could talk about. And we, you know, what was required for us in the school was we had to do like on Mondays and this and like Thursdays, I don't remember, but like on Mondays and Thursdays, we had to go to acting class. And then on this day and this day, we had to go to singing classes. And then we had to go to dance classes. And it was a very performing arts centered school. So we really lucked out with that. It's an amazing school. But, you know, to be honest,
Yes, Eli, get in there.
Yeah.
Get in there, Eli.
Sydney, that was the Miss America answer.
You're being awfully nice.
You did a great job with that. You win Miss America. Eli, tell us what it's really like.
Mark, we get along so well.
I know.
That being said, there's definitely a lot of jealousy that goes on at the school. We all definitely
really?
Try to support each other.
I never experienced
other.
That.
Maybe because a lot of people all looked right. up to you, and like you were Tony Nom, and they just like wanted to be your friend. But like, to be fair, I mean, there's definitely a lot of jealousy, and a lot of, I don't know. I mean,
I'm jealous of both of you right now, and I'm not in high school with you, but I'm just saying, you know,
I mean,
it's
anywhere
hard, hard to be a real kid.
Yeah. And anywhere that there's like a group of over 25 teenagers, there's obviously going to be a drama and jealousy and all of this. But as far as Sydney was saying, we definitely lucked out as far as going to a performing arts school and being able to, the school was able to be very supportive with our schedules as far as working and going to school. They were lenient with, you know, our class deadlines and work that we had to do. And they were super supportive in that aspect. But as far as, you know, a school itself, it was definitely a regular school. And when you were in school, you had to deal with being like a normal person, which I think is something that both Sydney and I really love, because we are human. Like we do want to have this normal life and this normal, you know, daily basis that everyone goes through. So, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely was like a normal, it being a performing arts school, it still was, you know, you were a student and I didn't feel like some whatever, some like hotshot whatever, but we just,
well,
to be honest.
Well, if I was you, I would have.
Yeah.
I think maybe I lucked out. I genuinely didn't experience any drama. But to be honest, I get that question a lot. Like, would you have rather having a normal life? And my answer is 110% no, absolutely not. I really, really, really love the childhood that I had. I had so many opportunities, and I just lucked out so hard with my family. And
well, yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like your parents really took care of you and really made sure that, you know, that you came first before the performance comes first. And that seems like a really important way to get through that insanity.
Definitely.
For sure. And they kept me grounded too. Like my entire family just, you know, kept me grounded. And also my brother Jake went to that same performing arts school, so we got to experience that together. And luckily, you know, we were able to kind of figure it out with the school to when we were in Broadway shows, because it's really hard to get home at midnight or 1 or 2 and then have to wake up early in the morning and then go to school. And, you know, what a lot of people don't know is Monday is the day off for theater, but obviously Monday is not the day off for school. So oftentimes kids would have no day off, but luckily we were able to work out with the school for us to come in a little bit later and then work in a classroom by ourselves, catching up on work, and then we would join the rest of our class later on. So that was really nice. And I had my brother to experience that with me. And I'm just so grateful for my entire life and my entire childhood. And I wouldn't have changed anything.
Well, I'm grateful that you had that experience as well, because it made such a big impact. And Eli, you're a superstar. We did Sister Act together at Broadway Workshop.
Yes.
And it was a scream.
Dream come true.
Yes, dreams come true for everyone.
Highlight my career.
Of course, of course. Anyway, all right, guys, we have two more sections and then we have to close out. So at this point, awesome. We're each going to tell, I know, time flies, but it's the middle of the night. All right, so I need each of you to tell me what your current obsession is. If there's something that's helping you get through our little bit of a lockdown, what are you watching? What is your thing you want people to watch or read or listen to? Sydney, you go first.
Okay, so I have pretty much in this quarantine binge watch. I've been pretty busy in doing fundraising projects for the Actors Fund and also Earth Day and stuff like that. And I've been super grateful I've been like so busy during this quarantine. It's insane. I haven't really sat down and been like, oh, wow, what in the world is happening?
Yeah, don't think about it. Just keep moving forward. Don't think about it.
Yeah, exactly. But I pretty much binge watched 5 seasons of How to Get Away with Murder. I can't even. It is such a good show. Viola Davis.
The first 3 seasons were so good. And then it does this. It jumps the shark a little bit and gets a little Bonnie Winterbottom.
There is a twist. You have seen it. I'm going to fangirl about this with you. Oh my gosh.
I stopped watching maybe last season. Yeah.
Really? So I'm going to do my best not to do any spoilers, but did someone important, let's just say, leave the show? Or like die?
I don't remember this riveting conversation right now. I think the last thing was someone died in a, it was snowing at a wedding, but I might also be confusing that with a different show.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I watch a lot of television.
No, that's it. That is definitely it. But there was someone who died before. I'm sorry. I watched it in such a quick span. It's insane. But I've also been working to get my splits back, and I'm almost there.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Those are your obsessions, splits and How to Get Away with Murder. Eli, what is your obsession?
My obsession right now is I'm binge watching. Well, not binge watching, but I'm going pretty slow with it. But The Vampire Diaries.
All right.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really like stupid and I didn't want to watch it, but finally my girlfriend convinced me and we're watching it on Netflix Party almost every night. And it's so good. It's insane.
Wait, what is Netflix Party? Is that something?
Oh, it's incredible. It's the best thing Netflix has ever done. It's a free extension for Google Chrome. I said free because Disney Plus is not, and I'm kind of sad about it. And so, yeah, it's a free extension from Google Chrome, and you can watch a Netflix show with your friend from that you're not like in the same house with.
I love that.
Yeah, and you can like chat, and like whenever you pause it, it pauses on their screen as well. So like it's literally like you guys are watching it together, and like if you pay a little extra, you can have like video of them and Netflix going at the same time. But I do the free version.
All right. Well, yeah. maybe they'll give you the free, like a free pass for the expensive version now that you've mentioned it on my widely received podcast.
Yes, free ad.
Okay. My obsession this week is The Housewives of New York. Mm. Thank you, Bravo, for the light of my life. I just love those crazy drunk ladies. It's really my greatest joy. It's not your generation. Your young people are not watching Housewives, but no. It's for me. And it's so special. Okay, guys, ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
This is the Broadway Workshop quick fire questions. I'll say who it's for. Just answer them the best you can. Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sydney, favorite Broadway show?
Newsies, Waitress. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but there you go.
I'll take them. Eli, favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Sydney, first Broadway show you saw?
Xanadu, I think.
Oh my God, good one. Eli, first Broadway show you saw?
Mary Poppins.
Okay, Sydney, if you had to be quarantined with one member of your Fun Home cast, who would it be?
Oscar Williams.
Aww.
My BFF.
Aww.
Yeah.
Eli, did you have braces?
No. My teeth are hideous.
Really? I have braces?
Well, get Invisalign. It's like a game changer.
No, they're not that bad. There's a little gap, but and I have vampire teeth, but it's fine.
All right. Well, maybe that's going to be marketable. Sydney, did you have braces?
Yes, I did. Okay.
Eli, have you ever been to a ballet class?
No. Well, I mean, if you got it at school, yes, but it's not really a ballet class.
Okay, Sydney, favorite memory of doing a Secret Garden at Lincoln Center with my girl Sierra Bagas?
Oh, the entire thing. My goodness. The entire thing was so magical. I also got to do it with really my BFF, good. Oscar Williams. So I guess that so was. Cool.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Eli, something that we should know about Matthew Morrison.
He's a dad now and just shaved his head.
Okay. Sydney, if you had a yacht, what would you call it?
Hold on. I would call it, I don't know. I would have, I'm so bad at this. I need my brain to work faster.
You're not great at it, but.
No, I would call it. Okay, so let's just say I had a yacht and I used it as like a studio to sing at. I would call it Sydney Singdom Kingdom or the SS Kingdom.
Ooh.
Okay, SS Kingdom is the winner. It only took 45 minutes to get to that. Eli, do you know how to drive?
I do not.
Sydney, what would your superhero power be?
That would be, stop it. I'm so indecisive. I can't.
I mean, it's flying, invisibility. I don't know.
It could be like maybe reading minds or like.
All right. I'll take reading minds.
I think that's a good one. Okay, I don't know.
We'll circle back.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, next episode. One thing you would tell people about doing Pippin on Broadway.
I trained in circus for a year and a half because I was doing tricks with professional circus people.
Sydney, did you audition for Dear Evan Hansen?
No, I didn't.
You're like, that was just a hard pass.
No, I'm
kidding. I just did. This was not a question, but Eli, have you auditioned for Dear Evan Hansen?
I have not.
All right, we'll get you in on that. Eli, who's your favorite Disney princess?
I'm going to say Belle because my baby cousin loves her.
All right, Sydney, aww, can you name one show on TLC?
Oh, I can.
Can
you?
You
can steal it from her.
Come on, you got this. My mom watches it all the time.
90 Day Fiancé.
Yes.
Right?
I know, but 90 Day Fiancé is my show on that. Oh, so good. Good work. Guys, if you're not watching 90 Day Fiancé, you are missing out. Big Ed, he's like a 4'11" guy. It's hilarious. Okay. Awesome. Eli, what do you want on your bagel?
Sausage, egg, and cheese.
Sydney, favorite Broadway cast album?
Book of Mormon.
Great. Eli, something you auditioned for and wanted and didn't get?
Stranger Things.
Sydney, I wish I could see Eli play fill in the blank.
Wait, what are you
that's
doing?
Tough.
Oh, that's tough.
Sydney, give me a role you want to see him do.
I want to see you do Dear Evan Hansen, but I also want to see you do maybe like the King in Hamilton or Peggy in Hamilton.
Great.
Peggy,
why not?
Eli, same question. I wish I could see Sydney play
one of the girls in Sideshow, I feel.
All right. All right. This is a question for both of you. Who's your dream guest for your podcast?
Kate McKinnon.
Ben Platt.
Great. Sydney, what movie do you wish was a musical?
Elf is already a musical. I'm so bad at thinking.
Eli, can you help your friend?
I can. She's helpless. No, I'm just kidding.
I hate you guys. I feel so attacked right now. Has Mulan been a musical? Is that the bad answer? Mulan was my favorite Disney movie. The songs are so good.
They're good. Okay, so we'll go with Mulan. All right, Eli, we're getting there. Least favorite costume you've ever worn?
A clown costume, because I had to wear these really tight, bright blue tights.
Okay, Sydney, what role would you like to see Patti LuPone play?
These are so
hard. Oh my gosh. God. I feel like you're giving me the hard ones.
I might be.
Okay. Oh, gosh, everything.
Great. Fill in the blank, Eli. What is the worst part about touring is?
Being away from your family.
Sydney, first audition song.
I feel like it was a song that went together wherever we go. What is it?
That was probably it. It's called Together Wherever We Go. It's from Gypsy.
Oh, my God.
Eli, what was your first audition song?
I bet everyone can guess it because every little boy does it. Gary, Indiana.
Oh, good choice for you. Okay, we're getting there. Sydney, do you ever watch Fun Home Bootlegs on YouTube?
Yes. I know I shouldn't, but like I never really got to see it. And I kind of like the fact that I could see it afterward, but like also don't do bootlegs. Okay. But
I have the same question for both of you. Name a musical you're okay with never seeing again.
Ooh.
That's tough.
I feel like all of the musicals that I've seen have generally been really good.
I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but maybe Be More Chill.
That's fine. I'm not giving you it. No hate coming this way.
Okay.
From me to you.
To be honest, I haven't seen that many Broadway shows. I know. Don't hate me.
But sometimes it's like, I don't want to ever see Fiddler on the Roof again. Like if you've just had enough of that. But it's okay.
I don't know,
man. We'll come back to you, Sydney.
Okay.
Okay, we're getting there. What Eli, what Broadway show would you like to be in that's currently running? Well, nothing's running, but you get it.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge.
Great. Sydney, do you want to be in Mean Girls?
Do I want to be in Mean Girls? I've never seen it, but okay.
It's great. Sydney, best gift you received during your Fun Home run?
All of the fan gifts were really touching. And I can't. Did you get a weird gift? But also Allison Bechdel got me so this is going to sound weird, but my understudy Gabby, who we shared a dressing room together, we really wanted to make this kind of art collage of Fun Home, and we really wanted in the background to be the wallpaper that they talk about in the show. And I was talking to Allison about it, and she sent me a little thing of the wallpaper, which is really cool. But then also my Roberta Calindres, who plays Joan, on my birthday, on my 12th birthday, she gave me – there was this kind of not even it's almost a yard sale, but it's in the green room, so it's a green room sale, but not a sale. It was free. They were like, here are some props that we're not going to use, but they're very pretty, and if you want to take them, you can take them. but I could only take like one. And so I got one, but there was one that I was just, and I have it actually like very near.
Quick fire.
I know. I'm so sorry. No, but
what
I had.
Did you take, Sydney?
I had one. I had one very near, and I have. Sorry, I have what? You guys. Okay, so there was one that I really liked, and it was so pretty. And Roberta was there when I was talking about it, but I was like, I'll just take this one. And then for my birthday, she got me. It was like a vase thing. But she got me it with sunflowers in it, and sunflowers were my grandfather's favorite flower. Aww. And he passed away, but that day I told myself that I would know that my grandpa said happy birthday to me if I saw a sunflower. And then so she came with this vase full of sunflowers, and it just about made me cry.
I love that story. All right, last question for both of you. Eli, you go first. One thing you wish people knew about you. And Sydney, that's the next question, so you could start thinking.
Oh my God, thank you for the head start.
One thing I wish people knew about me, I have a really addictive personality. I don't know if that sounds weird or not, but like anything that I start on, like I obsess over it and I like have to do it.
Well, that's good. As long as it's like puzzles and not drugs.
Oh, so no, totally. Oh my God. No, stop.
When people hear addictive personality, that
I know. That's why I was like, oh, weird.
We're going to let everyone know you're a good kid. All right. Yes. Sydney, what do you wish people knew about you?
That I feel very deeply, and I just whenever I love something or someone, and I love a lot of things and I love so many people, I just, you know, I would never ever 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 want to let anyone down, including my fans and including anyone. So I just do the best that I can do, and hopefully that's enough.
Well, I think it's enough. You guys are so fabulous. You're going to be such a good team together on your
thank
podcast.
You. Thank you. Hey, Mark, I actually have one more comment. Just going back to the Matthew Morrison thing. Mm-hmm. He actually performed every show with like Grethers Pastilles in his mouth while he was like on stage. Just had
no way. I think that is like a very normal. I did Gypsy with Patti LuPone, not to name drop, but she also does the same thing. There's always like a candy in her mouth.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever works for these superstars, they got to get through those 8 shows a week.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
Okay, tell the people where they can find out about you guys and where they can find out about your podcast.
Okay. Eli, you can go if you want.
You can find me on Instagram at tokash_Eli, and you can find us at Take a Bow Podcast on Instagram. And we're pretty active, so feel free to reach out whenever. And we also have our email for our podcast there, so you can reach out to us via our email and give a listen to our podcast.
And yeah, Sydney, are you on the social medias as well?
I am. Going off of what Eli said, you can DM us any questions you have for our guests, and then you might be featured on our podcast. And yeah, I am on Instagram and Twitter, both with the name Sydney Lucas NYC. And that's pretty much it.
That's how you find them. You both are so lovely, and I'm so thankful that you would spend a little time chatting on the Little Me podcast.
Of course.
It's been really interesting to hear your stories, and I'm sure people are going to love it. Of course, find out more about the Little Me podcast, you can go to the Broadway Podcast Network. You can follow me, Mark Tuminelli, on Instagram at Mark Tuminelli, TUMMINELLI. And thank you guys so much. We'll see you all soon. Good luck with your podcast. I can't wait to listen to it.
Thank
and everyone,
you so
stay safe, wash your hands, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you, listeners. This podcast is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and the Broadway Podcast Network, and edited by Derek Gunther. For more information on the Little Me podcast, go to bpn.fm/littleme. And follow me on Instagram at Mark Tuminelli or on Twitter at ThatTuminelli. And for more information on workshops, classes, and everything Broadway Workshop, go to BroadwayWorkshop.com. Thank you for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.